Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Now with McDonald's, wake up to a $4 breakfast meal deal. Wake up to a sausage McMuffin or sausage biscuit to hash browns, and wake up to a hot coffee. Get your $4 breakfast meal deal.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Fourth and final hour on this Thursday afternoon. Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. This time every Thursday, we bring in our man, Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet. 31 Thoughts, Hockey Night in Canada. He does it all, and he now joins us. Elliot, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. How are you doing?
Well, it's sitting here in Nashville, and the news all week has been what's going to happen to the Titans-Steelers game, and now it's officially been postponed. It does make you appreciate, you know, way back when we were talking to you about how's this all going to play out, right? What are they going to do? And then they decided they were going to go into a bubble situation. Tell you what, the NHL and the NBA did it right, and the MLS for a little while when they had their bubble, because the bubble works. Everything outside of the bubble is Major League Baseball and college football, and now the NFL, courtesy of the Titans, have experienced. You're going to have hiccups along the way, right? You're going to have shutdowns. And so I think we should get a little bit greater appreciation that the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs was able to go off that way because of the plan that they put in place.
And if you really think about it, how many of us really believed they were going to pull it off?
It was hard to believe back then. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. And that's why baseball after this round is going to the bubble too. And that's why, guys, like when we talk about what next season could look like in the NHL and NBA, I mean, there's still time before we get there. But, you know, I think we're in a situation where it's so unpredictable. They don't want to do bubbles again. The players made it very clear they don't want bubbles again. I totally understand that. You know, Dallas, which lost the Stanley Cup final, they were in the same hotel for 2 months straight. They were the one team that never moved. Because as one of the top teams in the Western Conference, they went into the one hotel. They were in Edmonton. Obviously, the final was in Edmonton. Tampa got to fly across the country and switch up a little bit. But Dallas, imagine being in the same hotel room for 2 straight months and then losing the championship. I mean, that's tough, really tough.
Man, I have been in that hotel. I have stayed in that hotel, and it's brand new. It is really nice. But, man, Elliot, do you think next year or whenever they start traveling,
they'll stay somewhere different?
Will they shake it up and stay somewhere else? Although they won a lot of games staying in that hotel. They're probably superstitious, right?
Yeah, they might get Phillips families or something like that, like old school. You know what the amazing thing is and I figured this out at one point during the playoffs. There was a time, it was about the time that Nashville came into the NHL, where I think Dallas and Edmonton played each other 5 years in a row, and I think it was 6 out of 7 in the playoffs. And in the last 21 years, Dallas has more playoff wins in Edmonton than the Oilers do. It's pretty amazing.
Wow. What was your takeaway, now that it's over, of, you know, Tampa's rebound and for them to win it all after what happened last year?
My biggest takeaway, guys, and it reinforces what we saw with Washington and to some degree with St. Louis, is that is you have to bet on your talent. You have to bet on talent. Washington believed in its guys. How many times did we say they were never going to win, and eventually they won? St. Louis was not far away from blowing up their roster. They stayed with their guys, and they won. And Tampa last year, after they wiped out in the first round, how many of us were saying, you know, we should give up on them and they should blow up their team, and they came back and they won. I think if you have talent, especially if your talent is signed long-term, You have to trust it. You have to challenge them to get better. You have to challenge them to get edgier and nastier. And you have to make sure that you supplement your core talent players with guys who can help you. And, you know, I look at Tampa, and they're supposed to be a soft team. That was the label they got after Columbus wiped them out last year. Well, they beat Columbus, they beat Boston, they beat the Islanders, and they beat Dallas. You know, Boston's not as tough as they used to be, but they're still a grinding team. Those three other teams are as nasty as they get. And Tampa handled them, and they gave as good as they got. And, you know, they went out and they got a couple of guys and depth guys at the deadline this year, and they paid a big price. They gave up first rounders. But they were guys who made a difference, and the Tampa team could beat you with a skill game. They could beat you with an edgy, nasty game. And their best players were their best players. Hedman, the defenseman, won was the playoff MVP. Braden Point had, 14 goals. Kucherov had more assists than any player in playoff history, not named Wayne Gretzky and Mario Lemieux. Vasilevsky, the goalie, played every minute of every game. You know, their biggest guys, they all deliver. You know, Stamkos played 3 minutes and scored a goal. I mean, it's, you know, I think that's the thing that stands out to me is that everybody there delivered. There was not a passenger on that roster. And that's the way you got to win.
Yeah, that was the turning point for me. When Stamkos did that, I was like, yeah, Tampa Bay is definitely going to win
this.
Yeah, exactly. It's destiny. And what's interesting, speaking of that, is I had picked Tampa. We made our predictions every round, and I kept referencing. I think I may have even referenced them when you were on with us that I'm picking Tampa to win it because of the Virginia Cavaliers college basketball angle. And I had no idea. And so I told these guys, I was watching interviews with John Cooper after they won it all. He was on SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt and other interviews, and he had a Virginia Cavaliers college basketball hat on, and he openly talked about it, that was their theme. I had no idea, and he even laughed, said, my players have no clue about college basketball, have no clue about Virginia. He's like, I don't even know Tony Bennett. But he saw what happened to them and how they turned it around the next year, and that kind of became his little thing behind the scenes. Did you have any idea that they were using Virginia's story as a motivation for them?
No, and I'll tell you exactly how much of a dummy I am. I asked Cooper during the year if he knew Tony Bennett, and he said no, and I dropped the line of question.
Oh.
And so, because he wasn't going to offer it up, and I assumed that because he didn't know him, that there was no contact. Like,
so you were on to something. Example. Oh, man.
Yeah, I was too much of a dumb idiot to figure it out. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. You could have broken this thing wide open back in the middle of the year.
I know. But then I'd have to be smart. And clearly, I'm not smart enough.
We're talking to Elliot Friedman, 31 Thoughts, and on sportsnet.ca. Elliot, your 31 Thoughts, you have sort of laid out the challenge ahead here. We feel so good that the CBA has been extended, and what they did to come together, players and owners, just to get the season completed was outstanding. But you sort of laid out that there's going to be some big challenges here. Who gets paid what? How much revenue is available? How many fans can we have? Big, big questions in the coming months. And you got to hope that partnership stays strong throughout this process.
Well, I think they're going to work on it to stay strong because it's in everybody's best interest for it to stay strong. A couple of weeks ago, the night before game one of the Stanley Cup playoffs, Commissioner Bettman does his State of the Union address. And one of the questions I asked him was, is there any chance that we don't play for a year? That they take the rest of this time off and they reset next October. And he kind of poo-pooed that. He didn't say no, but he kind of poo-pooed it. And a few people reached out to me after and said, because they heard the question, they said, that is absolutely not what he wants to do. Excuse me. And I believe that he has indicated that he would like to, if possible, start on New Year's Day. I don't think there'll be a Winter Classic. I think they'll save it. Why waste it when you can't have enough attendance? But I think also, guys, that what happens is, you know, January 1st has become a big day in the NHL. And there's also that whole thing of 2020 sucked. It's over. Let's start 2021 on a better note. So I think that's what he would like to do. But I think there's some issues. Number one, like you talked about, they're not doing bubbles again, at least not full bubbles. Number two, I think they'd like to do some maybe two-week bubbles, but that also comes with the worries that you guys mentioned at the beginning, what the players do when they're not in the bubble, because it's just hard now with families. And second, where do you have those bubbles? You know, for example, what if you're worried about there are places that don't have great attendance, or there might not be any interest in the games that don't feature the home team? What's the situation with the border? I think all of this stuff is still to be determined. And the other issue is player pay. The players sign a deal where 10% of their salary is deferred, and they put 20% away in the escrow account to make sure it's 50-50. So basically, the players next year at the start are going to be playing for 72% of their salary. That's if we play 82 games. Now, the players believe, according to the deal, that they get that gross salary no matter what. Whether they play one game or they play 82 games, they get that full amount. Obviously, and I'm not sure where the league stands on this, but the teams interpret it differently. Now, I mean, that has to be worked out. If we play 55 games, how are owners going to feel about giving that full paycheck? Does it matter how they feel? Is this the deal? And they just have to live with it that way. And I think all of that stuff is kind of getting figured out. And it's going to be a challenge because it's very unlikely we're going to be able to go into buildings. You know, maybe next year in Nashville, if Predators play at home, how many fans can get into a building? You get 5,000? Do you get 10,000? Who knows? How's everybody out there who's a Predators fan going to feel about going into the building? And I think these are all questions we don't have the answer to, so it's a delicate dance to figure it all out.
Ellie, with that in mind, especially from the financial standpoint, you have the offseason coming. You're going to have a lot of free agents. You have the expansion draft a year away, so GMs have to be thinking along those lines as well. What will that do to the market of available players, available trades in the coming weeks? You think more than usual? I saw a quote, I think, from Lou Lamoriello saying there might be a lot more players available than you think.
I think there's a ton of players available. I think there's a ton of talk going on out there. But there's a big difference between talk and, as a GM said to me, who has the money to do everything? Who has the money to do it?
Yeah.
And that is the question. Which teams are cap teams? Which teams are budget teams? Which teams are floor, meaning the bottom of the salary cap team? So I think there's a lot of want to do things, but I think there's a lot of also, I'm not sure I want to do that thing. Or I like that player, but I'm not crazy about that contract. So I think there's a lot of talk, but I'm really curious to see how much is going to get done. I think one thing that kind of happens now is that Tampa's season is over, and they could be at the center of a lot of stuff. They have some talented guys. They've got no trade clauses. They have to navigate all that. But Tampa, I think, has some players that people are interested in. So that might sort of juice things up a little bit.
We're talking to Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet. So with all that said, Elliot, free agency-wise, there aren't a ton of centers available, high-quality centers. We know that Kyle Turris's name is going to be out there until something is resolved with that with the Predators. But could you see David Poile possibly moving any of his other centers? And, yes, I do mean Johansson or Duchesne being a part of that list.
I think, first of all, you guys know your GM. He's not afraid. I think he's got a lot of his forwards out there. And that doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to do something with them, but I think he's looking at it and saying, what's the market for these guys? So my answer to your question is yes. I think he's got those guys out there. It doesn't mean anything's going to happen. It just means he's looking. The toughest thing is a lot of those guys have term. Bonino doesn't, obviously. But, you know, Duchesne does, Johansson does. And some teams are really scared of term right now. So that's an issue. But I think those guys are at least out there in the sense that the Predators are seeing what the marketplace is for them.
So if he were to move, you know, somebody that, not Bonino necessarily, because like you said, I mean, he's got a year left, but Duchesne's only been here a year. Johansson has been here a handful of years, but has the term. If he were to move one of those guys or one of the other forwards mm-hmm. that he signed to a deal, do you take that as retooling or rebuilding, or how would you classify that?
I think it depends on what you get back, right?
Sure.
If what you get back keeps you good, then I don't think the Predators have any desire to step back. Roman Josi is in his prime. Ryan Ellis is in his prime. Ekholm is in his prime. I think you're going to have not too far away a contract decision with Forsberg. I don't see the Predators as a team that's looking to rebuild. I think they'd like to shake it up a little bit. I think they'd like to energize a bit. But I don't see the Predators as a team that's going to say, we've given up hope that we can compete for a Stanley Cup. I just don't see that at all.
All right, let's end on what could be a high note. I'm going to test you on a Sportsnet stat.
Did you say Dan High Note? No.
No, not Dan. I know. We've already talked
about that. By the way, did he ever confirm? I forgot to ask last
yes.
week.
Oh, yes. Yes. He absolutely did. Oh. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. When he was at West Point, I think is when he was really looking at that. Right? Didn't he play at West Point?
Yep. Army. Yep.
Yeah, at Army. Yeah, he mm-hmm. definitely. Yeah, we did ask and followed up on that. I think, Darren, you were the one that threw that at him. He said, yeah, absolutely. He remembered that.
Oh, good. Okay. It's good to see that some of my information is good.
Yeah, there you
thanks.
Go. There
you loosened up the interview for us. Thank you. I'm gonna ask you a Sportsnet stat, and we'll see if Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet can get it. Victor Hedman is the third Swedish-born player to win the Conn Smythe Trophy in NHL history. Who are the other two?
Okay.
Third Swedish-born player to win the Conn Smythe. Who are the other two?
Okay, it was not Forsberg.
Correct. Philip or Peter.
That's right. Zetterberg won one, did he not?
He did. There's one.
That was one of my guesses.
Okay.
08.
Now, the other one I would say, let's go back.
I'll give you a hint, teammate.
No, teammate. Lidstrom.
Lidstrom
those were going to be my guesses, but I was not sure. Because the more you think about it, you're like, man, there's been a lot of great Swedish players.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? What you have to do is you have to go through like almost the teams that won, right? And the Forsberg was the first guy that jumped into my head, but I remember Sakic won the first one and Wall won the second one. So you almost have to go through the teams and say, okay, who won it on those teams? And obviously, Detroit is the one that jumps out.
He's one of those guys, Forsberg, the short amount of time that he was here. Willie and I did a player show with him. We were hosting the Darcy Hordachuk show at the time, and he was the guest that night. And you couldn't have gotten a two-year-old in that building that night. I mean, we if the fire marshal would have showed up, they would have shut that place down for sure. He's just one of those people, and that was the first time ever being around him, like in that setting. He's just one of those that's just a rock star, you know, just the way he carries himself. It's like you just feel like you're in the presence of something different. Is that fair to say?
I think it's very fair to say. Even though he's a rock star, he treats people really well.
Yes. Oh, great. He was fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't.
Yeah,
he didn't carry himself like that. Yes, he just oozed with was something different. But yeah, he didn't treat you like, hey, I'm better than you or you're beneath me. He was fantastic to deal with. But Willie, I know you're probably like me. We'll never forget that night. It was a crazy hour.
That part of a season, and it was really disappointing because the Predators were number one in the President's Trophy race until the last month of the season, and not only did they lose that, they lost the division. They slipped to the fourth. They had all kinds of injuries pile up. Forsberg was dealing with his own issues, and he stayed out there. But it was still so thrilling just to be around him for that short a period of time. And, like, you know, the people that attended, we happened to be in Toronto, Elliot, as a team the night he was inducted into the Hall of Fame. And he was so respectful. You're thinking, you know, this guy's career spans so many things that it's about 1% of significance in Tennessee, you know, with the Predators. And he still was so great with all the Predator personnel that was there with him that night. And he acknowledged him up there. I mean, just class all the way.
Yeah, I'm not surprised to hear that. I mean, that's just generally the way that he was seen. And, you know, he's a guy on the ice. He'd tear you limb from limb. But off the ice, people had a ton of respect for him and the way he treated people.
We did the show that night at a brewery / restaurant. And he didn't come in this way because it was a big-time move, you know. We brought him in through the kitchen, through the back and through the kitchen. He didn't come through the front door because he was big-timing people. He came through the kitchen because you couldn't get in through the front door. That's how many people were there that night. It was crazy.
Maybe he was just wanted to steal some cupcakes or something like that.
Oh, well, let me tell you, if we could have come through the kitchen at that place that we used to do that show, we would come through the kitchen, too. They had really good food. Elliot, good stuff as always. We really, really appreciate it. Have a great rest of your week.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend. Take care.
All right, you too. Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Appreciate Elliot Friedman as always on Thursdays. Don't forget, Saturday, November 14th, as we just start the first day of October, you can support Stars by running, walking, or boogieing for the Nashville Striders. It's the 20th annual Shelby Bottoms Boogie 15K and 5K run/walk, however you choose. This event is perfect for the avid runner as well as the casual jogger. It's on certified course in the heart of Shelby Bottoms Park. You can also show your support and participate virtually. It's up to you. That's Saturday, November 14th. Nashville Striders, Shelby Bottoms Boogie to benefit Stars. For more information, please visit starsnashville.org. That is starsnashville.org.
Titans. Please
do. Yeah, absolutely. Titans Steelers postponed. Not going to happen in week four. It's been a lot of layers over the last 72 hours. Was it going to be pushed to Monday? Was it going to be pushed to Tuesday? Reports then, oh, maybe a Monday doubleheader. And now we know it is off. It is off for this week. And so we will find out. Will they be able to suit up and play Buffalo the following week? So far, the Vikings have come away with no positive test. Of course, they were the opponent of the Titans. And so far, right now, today, here on this Thursday afternoon, the Vikings and Texans are still set to take place in Houston on Sunday. It was a report out there from Tom Pelissero that the bus driver for the Titans that took them to the stadium on Sunday in Minnesota and Minneapolis to take on the Vikings was the same bus driver that was taking the Astros to Target Field to take on the Twins in the playoffs. And when I guess the Astros learned of that, they removed that bus driver from them, which was smart.
Smart thing to do.
And so now we kind of sit and wait. There was another positive test. We have not learned the name. There was another one the day before. It was kind of like Correa. So add him to the list. And now there's another that we haven't learned who that is yet. Is that correct? We have not seen that name?
Yeah, it's not out there yet. And I'm kind of keeping up obviously, well, all of us are about, okay, what side of the ball are they on? If it's another defensive player, that would be three on defense. Obviously, Bo Brinkley on special teams, but I think that that's definitely something to pay attention to, of what side of the ball, because if it's another defensive player, you can maybe say, all right, is it contained? Does that have anything to do with anything? Just something that I'm kind of thinking about.
There's all these things going forward, you know, that we're going to learn. How quickly can you return from the COVID list? There's a lot of ramping up things that you have to do to get off the list. I'm looking at the terminology that Mike Vrabel used yesterday when he was asking about that. There's an acclimation period, he said. So, you know, there's a whole chapter in the thick book of protocols for that. And first and foremost, we hope that all that have had some symptoms, because Mike Vrabel reiterated today, he said, you know, he wouldn't specify who had what symptoms, but he said some have had symptoms, some did not. And it shows you that it affects different people different ways. Again, this is a good, I just love, the more he talks about it, the more he's able to share, is a good window for people to learn how the virus works if they haven't been paying full attention, right? It's so important to know the details on how this works. And so we'll have to worry. We'll have to hope that the Bills game stays on schedule, because this is another thing that I think we, in our mind, we're thinking, okay, one additional test, could Monday be a go? Yeah, I think it could be a go. And then the next day, another positive comes down the pike. In fact, two, one player, one personnel. But Tim Hasselbeck was the one that opened our eyes about that yesterday. He said, listen, I just did the Virginia Tech NC State game. Don't think that they're in the clear just because this is the amount of tests, because it could be in your body for a while before it shows up in a COVID test. It takes several days, 6 to 8 days. So let's just hope that there's not a new group of tests that come back positive tomorrow. That would be disappointing, but it's possible, right? They were all on that plane together.
Virginia Tech was missing 23, 24 players in that game.
He talked about the night. What a nightmare that was. And congratulations to them to fight through
still
it and be able to win with what they had available. But it's a challenge.
Mike Vrabel's opening statement, we played his press conference today at 11 o'clock. His opening statement was, I just wanted to fill you guys in on where we're at with our meeting with our team this morning at 8:30. We had a squad meeting to inform the team that in light of the two recent positive tests that we had, the NFL has made the smart and safe decision to postpone our game and that we will be on a bye week starting now. Reminded them not to gather with each other, players and staff, until we can find a safe way to enter in the back to our building, hopefully, which would happen Monday or Tuesday, which we would then prepare for, we would be preparing against Buffalo. I told them to try to mentally recover from an emotional few days so that we can proceed with our season, build on a 3-0 start. That was my message to them this morning, that coming from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel. That's how he began the presser today. So, and that was something that was brought up about, can the players kind of go off and work together, and saying that they
thought that was a good question.
Encourage them not to be doing that.
Yeah, I mean, we made the joke yesterday, Ryan Tannehill going out in the backyard and throwing to his kids. That's pretty much going to be his option. I mean, I think it's, we've seen, you know, before they reported for training camp, you know, you did see some players get together, throw, you know, work out together, but the Titans obviously discouraging that. I think that's okay. You know, you can just wait till next week, but it is certainly a good thing to address, and I hope that these players adhere to that and don't, you know, don't go get together, work out together. I think it's best just to sit and enjoy the bye week and get healthy to try and be able to get in the game next week against Buffalo.
And as they enjoy the bye week, they'll have to get tested every day throughout the process. This is part of it. Right. Wasn't it telling earlier this week when Dan Graziano, I was watching, he was on ESPN. He said, I've been texting with a Titans player who just told me he tested 3 times negative on one day. So there's the point of care test. We're learning about all these things. Point of care testing versus the other test that's maybe more accurate. that takes 24 hours or less. So we've learned a lot about the testing process. But there's limitations to how quickly you can find out if somebody's been infected. So once again, the next chapter will be tomorrow. Mike Vrabel talked about the emotions of that. He goes, you try to sleep. You don't sleep very well. You wake up early, and you're just hoping to get good news. And think about every single NFL coach and every single college coach who has that same thing. The anxiety that must go with that is, am I going to learn today that three of my players have tested positive, and then what do we do?
I was looking at the ratings. We've talked a lot about ratings this week. The first day of Major League Baseball postseason had four games, and three of the four were basically day games. And, you know, I was thinking with a lot of people, you know, we get the luxury of, well, you know, if we were in the studio, but being at home or in the studio, we would have televisions on to have those games on. Not every workplace, obviously, would have that. But I'm thinking, well, there's a lot of people working from home, so, you know, they can have the TV set, whether it's on mute, but at least it's on the game. They can glance up and look and watch some of these day games. Well, I was just looking at the ratings, and I guess not very many people had the TVs on the games because the ratings were really, really, really down for that first day, those four games. For the all two of the four drew under a million viewers. So continues to be the theme. Pretty amazing.
I bet one of them, Rays Jays, which was kind of tucked in there. It was hard to watch. I mean, you couldn't watch all four at once because a lot of them were going on at the same time. In fact, I think there might have been one point where three of the four were going on at the same time.
Yes.
So I would be curious. The overall viewership
was the lowest rate. Was the lowest rated game, then followed by the White Sox A's.
I still want to know. Like, I'm watching where my setup is in the office. You know, I stream. That's how I watch. So, you know, does that people that are watching that way, do they get the credit? I don't know the answer. I still don't know the answer to that question, because I mean that's how I'm doing it, and I know a lot of people do that. Like there's probably people at work that while they, you know, like they stream us to listen, they're doing the same thing, watching a game.
Yeah.
Did anybody see the ratings for the NBA game last night? That would be interesting to me because for the first time ever, you have the NBA final played at the time of the year it's being played.
Yeah.
And you're going to be going up against NFL at some point here during the season. I'm sure they're trying to dodge it as best as they can.
They had nothing last night, I mean, other than baseball, right?
They had the baseball. So you had the Dodgers playing in a playoff game while the Lakers are playing. So that had to count for something. But and also the fact that the game was pretty much over at half, you really didn't like the chances of Miami coming back, and then they got further behind to start the second half. So
2.1.
Was last night?
Yep.
Okay.
Locally or
this is nationally. This is Yahoo put this out there. Game 1 of the 2020 NBA Finals settled for a 2.1 rating in the 1849 demo, 5.3 million total viewers.
That sounds pretty low.
For ABC, yeah.
Yeah.
That's definitely low.
But they're currently about half of what last year's comparable prelim data estimated for ABC.
Okay.
And as they point out in this article, that's with LeBron in the finals where he wasn't last year.
Right. Lakers Heat is two big markets too.
Sure. But and again, although this is just a preliminary.
The Heat are not, you know, they're not a marquee team with a lot of big names, but just LeBron himself, you would think, and the Lakers, the LA market. But it's a challenge.
The Indians Yankees in that first day of action had the highest ratings. They were just a little bit over 2.5, almost 2.6 million in their contest. Of course, New York is the number one media market in the country, so not surprised there. Let's go to Nate, who wants to weigh in on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate, what's up?
Hey, guys. I've been kind of researching on and off this ratings question for the streaming, and from what I can tell, at least from 2018, they do not count the streaming as part of the ratings. Now, I know that's been like 2 years, but I guess it could have changed since then, but from then, it looks like it doesn't count. So,
I think we've established that, right? We've looked this up, and we've talked about it so much. I think we've established that they don't count, right? I feel like
I don't
have.
Know because it seems like that question keeps coming up.
I think it is a separate thing. Yeah. I know for all the data we get for the Predators, we look at it separately. There is a TV rating, and then there's a streaming number. So I don't think you – I think you, for your own purposes, can combine the estimated number of people that are watching. But for specifically TV ratings, I think it's only who watches
right.
on TV.
But my whole thing is then –
and then you try to figure out sports bars.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's got to be factored in too. So all the data that comes out – for television ratings is incomplete, in my opinion, then because if you're not including the streaming and sports bars, like you said, then it's not a – I mean, we've had a lot of conversations through this about ratings being down, which they have been, but it's incomplete data.
Well, for baseball, I would want to know, too, when I have three or four games going on at once, I think it's more fair to look at the overall viewership and not just the individuals, because, I mean, when Tampa Bay and Toronto are playing at the same time that there's two other games on, you know, it's not going to draw a big audience to start with, Tampa Bay and Toronto. They have relatively small fan bases in the States. And then on top of that, you have two other baseball games that baseball fans have a choice to watch. So that equals, there's no question that game was going to be low rated, but what's the overall audience?
Right.
And what do they deem a success in this unique format where you have eight series going on at once?
Yeah, I'd love to know that.
There is a musician out there that is a huge, huge Braves fan. Did you know who I'm talking about, Chase?
A musician?
Hall of Fame musician. Hall of Famer.
I'm going to guess there's more than one Hall of Fame musician that the Braves fan.
Huge Braves fan. Huge, according to A-Rod.
I'm reading this
from a Richard Justice tweet. Don't go look up Richard Justice, who we love talking to. When he came to Nashville here, not that long, I don't know, in the last couple of years, I went and saw this act. I went and saw him.
I don't know. You'll have to tell me.
Sir Elton John.
He's a Braves fan?
How about that? Huge. Not just
really?
A Braves fan. Huge. According
I'm thinking
to A-Rod.
Country artist, Jason Aldean.
I never would have gone that.
Yeah. How about that?
Well, that's
Sir Elton John is a huge Braves fan.
Elijah, reach out to his people. Let's get him on the show.
Oh, already on it. Already. Listen to him on the broadcast last night. I was like, you know what? I'm going to reach out right now.
We will come back and wrap up Thursday's show with a facepalm emoji. Just how do athletes get so out of touch with the world? How do they do that? Just how does that happen? How do you get so out of touch with what's going on in the world? We'll explain Eric Ebron. On the other side, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Is Elijah throwing in the towel? Is that what he's doing? Is he talking about the show, or is he talking about his team, the Reds?
Initially the show, but emotionally I threw in the towel three innings ago.
Wow. You knew one run would do it, huh?
Unfortunately. But all I'm
it's
asking
like 1968
for...
1968 right here.
Think about that. If the Braves win 1-0, they scored two runs and won a series.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yeah. All I'm asking for is a run. The Braves can win like 5-1 in extras, and I'll be cool with it. I'll sleep at night. But no runs in two games? Almost two and a half games, technically,
yeah, and,
if you count the extra innings?
And for the first time since 2001, the Braves will have won a postseason series.
Just since you know what?
2001.
Really?
A couple good historic notes. Ian Anderson had an impressive postseason debut. He struck out 9 in 6 innings, and that is – the most strikeouts by a Braves pitcher in his postseason debut since Steve Avery in 1991. Remember the performance
wow.
he had in the series against the Pirates that went seven games. He was awesome in that series. And then Tyler Kepner had a great tweet yesterday. I can't remember exactly what the number was, but once they reached the 13th inning.
Goodbye. See you later.
So a little insurance here for the Braves.
Was that Ozuna?
Ozuna, yeah.
Yeah, he just cranked one.
But baby.
As you watch him round the bases here.
And that'll do it, folks. That will do it. And the fans are exiting.
So it will not be back-to-back 1-0 wins. We know that to be the case.
It is officially over.
But when you have this kind of dominating pitching, you have a lot of whiffs, especially these days. But to put it in context, Tyler Kepner from the New York Times, our buddy, who's come on our show many times, they struck out like 37 total batters yesterday, the two teams, which is more in one game than in the entire 1976 World Series in the four games between the Reds and the Yankees. The number of people striking out these days, it's unbelievable. But when you look at these pitches that they're throwing in there, you can't be too surprised. But also, when you make a mistake, you see what happens with Ozuna. They don't just hit a base hit to the opposite field. They crush it.
That was
over. That was quick.
That was a laser beam.
Yeah.
I just texted Porth, love you. You think he'll respond?
If he does, it won't be nice. Would be my guess.
He just said this team can rot somewhere.
Hey, bring back Dusty Baker. Oh, wait a minute. What did Dusty do?
I believe he won his playoff series.
Oh, he won a playoff series. Isn't that something? Wow, what a concept. Crazy.
Did you guys even notice that the Astros actually ended up under 500 in the regular season?
Yep. Dusty Baker wasn't good enough in Cincinnati. Couldn't wait to get him out. Oh, okay. Glad you got rid of him. That's really worked out well. Glad you couldn't stand Dusty. By the way, he's moving on to the bubble. His team's moving on to the bubble out in California. Cincinnati's going to go back home and blow bubbles.
In Cincinnati's defense, though, who hasn't beaten the Twins in the playoffs in the last decade?
Well, but, true. You know, they did. They did. The bottom line is they did. All right. In the category of out of touch with reality, out of touch with the world, how do athletes and coaches get out of touch with the world? How does that happen? How does that happen? I don't know. I'll never understand it. But we can add now Pittsburgh Steelers tight end Eric Ebron, who's been around the block, right? He started off his career in Detroit with the Lions. Wasn't he a first-round pick? It was a very high pick. Had a lot of success in Indy, especially when Andrew Luck was the quarterback. Now he's in Pittsburgh with the Steelers, and he tweets out this. I'm confused on how this became our problem. My son's birthday party was on the bye week. Now I'm missing his birthday, and bad enough I don't even get to see my kids. Blank sucks. Eric, grab a clue, man. Here's a quarter. Go buy a clue. I mean, honestly. You're really going to take to social media and complain that the Titans had positive tests in the middle of a pandemic and your game got postponed and now your bye weeks are going to switch and you're going to miss your kid's birthday while you're making millions of dollars to play this season while there's how many millions of people that have been out of work and unemployed, mm-hmm. and furloughed, and taking pay cuts. And you're getting your millions, and you're playing, and now you're mad because your bye weeks got switched. Boo freaking who? Eric Ebron. Get a clue, dude. Get a clue with the world, okay? Just get outside and look around you. I know you probably live in a nice neighborhood in Pittsburgh, but just look around, man. Are you kidding me? Are you freaking kidding me complaining about this?
I mean,
how is this our problem? Well, it's your problem because you signed up to play an NFL season in the middle of a pandemic.
Bingo.
Ding dong.
Bingo.
I think I would be just as frustrated as Eric Ebron, but I just don't think I would put it on social media.
Right. I totally understand. You're frustrated because you're thinking, well, this didn't happen to us. We're getting punished for it. Okay. But let me ask you this, Eric. Let's say the game is on. Say you were going to play. And you know that they've already had some positive tests. There's still a chance based on, you know, what we know. There's still a chance that you could catch something by playing the Titans. So aren't you glad that the NFL is taking precaution and they have gone ahead and postponed this game? Yeah, it wrecks your bye week. I get that. You're going to miss your kid's birthday. But at the same time, at least now, you know you're not going to be at risk of getting it from the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, how about the safety part about clearly you have a family? So aren't you glad?
I think we've all had the moments privately that Eric Ebron is having in some form. Like, man, what's next? You know, I mean, you're allowed to have those feelings.
Of
but
course.
You don't put it on social media, and you don't blame. It's like he's blaming the Titans. Right? How is this our problem? Right? But this is life. This is how we're having to live right now.
Chase Claypool, the rookie wide receiver for the Steelers. A rookie dinner instead of a game this weekend? Yeah, the Titans, you need to reimburse me. Really?
Wow.
Really?
Let me get a little clue pill for him.
I mean, how many quarters do
the
we
rookie
need to
dinner
hand out
is
for
going
to
happen one way or the
buy
other?
A clue.
Yeah. And the rookies pay for it, which is the whole point of the rookie dinner.
I mean,
whether you have it this week, next week, or the bye week.
Holy moly.
This is where social media can be bad. We talked about it being good and helping Roman Yossi with the Norris. This is bad. This is bad social media. You just look silly.
I don't understand it. I don't understand how you think. Like you said, well said. Nobody's going to fall. Privately, we've all done it. Oh, there's another one. Wow. Okay. You can keep playing the song.
Okay, Elijah. Let's hear the song again.
That can be the music just playing us right out because it is over.
Duval.
The show and the red season.
Yeah, I'll turn that song on over a glass of bourbon or six.
Time to drink.
Also, while we're watching the celebration of the Braves in the dugout, they keep panning to the group outside. I think we've all been, if we've been to that park, you know the area near the battery.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Aren't they letting a few too many people stand right outside there? It's a little
surprise. The gathering looks a little bit close.
Could you spread those people out a little more?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty big area out there. I mean, you could spread them out a little bit more. 5-0 Braves.
Thanks for that trade, Reds. Appreciate it.
Congratulations. Atlanta will be heading to Texas to their bubble. Good for them. Good job. Good job, Chase. Well done. You had nothing to do with it, but just you were a fan. Well done.
Ryan, Elijah, Ricky, and this one belongs to the Braves. Good night, everybody.
That will do. Don't do that again, Willie. That will do it for our show today.
Thanks, Roy.
Continue to be safe. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. to close out the week. We'll see you then.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.